Good afternoon. Welcome to the session called E-Therapy, the therapist in the room. There will be three or two presenters. I will be the first presenter, then Matthijs Blanker from the University of Amsterdam will present. And after that, we hope to see Kathleen Dirk Palumbo from mytherapynet.com. Okay. Okay, I guess I shall start. My name is Viola Speck. I work for Tilburg University and the Trimbos Institute. And I would like to tell you something about the cost-effectiveness of internet-based treatment for subthreshold depression. Before I start, I have to warn you, this is not a full economic evaluation, but rather a secondary analysis of our randomized trial data. I'd like to acknowledge that there is no conflict of interest. First, let me explain about subthreshold depression. We defined this as having symptoms of depression, but not enough to meet the DSM-4 criteria of major depression. The prevalence of subthreshold depression is 8 to 16% in people over 50 years of age, which is our study population. It is clinically relevant. People with subthreshold depression are similar to people with a major depressive disorder when looking at psychosocial functioning. And subthreshold depression is a risk factor for developing a major depressive episode. So there is reason enough to treat subthreshold depression. In earlier papers, we already reported on the effectiveness of internet-based treatment compared to group treatment for subthreshold depression. And we found that internet-based treatment was at least equally effective as group treatment. The objective of the current study is to estimate the cost-effectiveness of an internet-based intervention for subthreshold depression by comparing it to an evidence-based group treatment. We analyzed the data of 200 participants. Their mean age was 55 years. The standard deviation was 4.6, so most people were between 50 and 60 years old, and they all had subthreshold depression. The procedure of the study was that people were invited to participate in the study via personal letters from the municipal healthcare service or ads in regional newspapers. Then they could go to the study website and complete a screening questionnaire for depression. If they scored above the cutoff score, they were invited for a face-to-face interview, including a CD to assess depression. If they were not depressed, so if they had subthreshold depression, they were randomized. And after that, they completed a baseline assessment. After that, they could start on the treatment. And 10 weeks after 10 weeks after the start of treatment, so at the end of treatment, we assessed their depressive symptoms and also at 1 year follow-up. For the cost-effectiveness analysis, we only used the 1 year follow-up data because the figures related to healthcare consumption are over the course of 1 year. The group cognitive therapy consists of 10 sessions with homework. It is an evidence-based treatment. It has been widely used in the Netherlands for the last 15 years, and it is based on Lewinson's Coping with Depression course. The group treatment consists of 8 modules with homework. The treatment is taken at home. People follow it through the internet. It's a self-help intervention. There is no help at all from a therapist, and it is based on the group course I just told you about. Depressive symptoms were measured with the BDI, and treatment response was defined as clinically significant change according to the definition of Jacobson and Truex. For cost effectiveness analysis, you have to dichotomize your outcome measure. So we use this criteria, which is quite conservative. We did a secondary cost effectiveness analysis based on direct medical costs, the intervention costs, and patients' out-of-pocket costs, but we did not include costs stemming from production losses in paid labor. This is a major limitation of our study, but on the other hand, as all participants were over 50 years old, not everyone was working anymore, because there were a very good arrangement for people to stop working early a few years ago in the Netherlands, and also many women of this generation never had paid jobs. So although it is a major limitation in this group, it may not be that bad. Successful treatment response occurred in 63% of the participants who took internet-based treatment and in 53% of people who got group treatment. The per participant intervention costs were €323 for internet-based treatment and €1,830 for group treatment. And this includes the participants' time. So there is a tariff that you can use to calculate how much their time costs, costs for travel for group treatment, costs for the group leader's salaries also for group treatment, and hosting for the website for internet-based treatment. So it's pretty much all the costs that we could think of. Then, to illustrate how we calculated that direct medical costs, these are figures that are widely agreed upon. You can look them up in a book. The direct medical costs are the costs for a consultation of the mentioned healthcare service. And the direct non-medical costs are costs like travel to the healthcare service, parking costs, and again, the patient's time. Then the pre- to post-treatment savings in costs by condition. As you can see, at post-treatment, for internet-based treatment, there was a savings on antidepressants and sleep medication of €11. For group treatment, this saving was a little bit less, but not much. For other medical costs, the internet-based treatment group was a little more expensive. And for the direct medical costs, group treatment was a bit more expensive, but it's all not much. Then the incremental cost effectiveness ratio. This is calculated by the cost of the internet-based treatment minus the cost of group treatment divided by the chance of success for internet-based treatment minus the chance of success for group treatment. So that's €323 minus €1,830 divided by 63 minus 53. So this means that for every person who gets well after having had internet-based treatment, a saving of €150 is made. And that's about $236. So that's what I just told you. Then the cost effectiveness plane. These are the bootstrapped replications of our trial data. On the horizontal axis, you can see additional effects. And on the vertical axis, there are additional costs. And as you can see, most costs are on the lower right-hand quadrant, which means that internet-based treatment generates better health effects against lower costs. And that's an 89% chance for this result to happen. And you also saw that there were some dots on the left-hand side, and that means that there is an 8% probability that internet-based treatment is less costly and less effective. But it's, you see there is some uncertainty, but it's pretty clear that it's cheaper. Then the acceptability curve. The blue line intersects the vertical axis at 1.97, and this means that the willingness to pay for a clinically significant change, if this is zero, then there is still a 97% chance that internet-based treatment is more cost-effective compared to group treatment. So, to summarize, there was a 63% of clinically significant change in internet-based treatment. It was 53% in group treatment. So, when you look at the data using this criterion, it seems that the internet-based treatment is more effective. And it's also cheaper compared to group treatment. And the incremental cost-effectiveness ratio, so for every case of clinically significant change, you make a saving of 150 euros if you give people internet-based treatment. Then the limitations of the study. As I said before, we did not incorporate the costs of production losses, which would have been really interesting, of course, but unfortunately we didn't measure this in our randomized control trial. And we were faced with attrition and missing data, as in every trial, and especially in trials on internet-based treatment. We tried to solve this problem by using implementation techniques, regression implementation, or lost observation carried forwards. And these measures were always chosen to be conservative, so it's probably even more cost-effective than I'm showing you now. And the time span of our study is only 1 year. That seems like a lot maybe for clinical trials, but for cost effectiveness it's a short time, because it may be the case that people get better by using internet-based treatment and you make a saving, but they may get substantial depression again earlier, so then it may be more expensive after all. So it would be very interesting to look at a longer period of time, but it's not very feasible in the real world, of course. So to conclude, internet-based treatment combines gains in health with cost savings compared to group treatment. Are there any questions?
Yeah, you showed us the table with the cost. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, why are the what are the other medical costs that are higher with the internet CBT group?
The other medical costs are just actually all medical costs except for antidepressants and sleep medication. So it's consultations with any healthcare service type you can think of.
So there are no. You don't know why it's higher in the internet CBT group?
Well, it's just...
Or is it a small difference?
Yeah, it's only a small difference because it's only... Well, the savings is only 18 euros less, and if you look at the standard deviations between brackets, these are really large. Yeah. So it's actually the message of this slide is that these figures don't differ much, so it's... The most important reason why internet-based treatment is more cost-effective is because the intervention is much cheaper. So, and this is roughly the same.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question. If you, did you have any comments from the participants themselves, if they liked it, or what was the appreciation?
Well, they appreciated it a great lot to get internet-based treatment, but that's also got to do with how we recruited our participants, because participants were recruited in a time period that internet-based treatment was very hot in the media, and we had to ask people if they were feeling depressed and if they had also had internet. And then everybody guessed that it would be an internet-based treatment that they would get. So this was sort of a self-selected group who were really into internet-based treatment. And if I had to tell them that they would get group treatment, they were really disappointed and saying, oh yeah, well, I'm not really a group person and I don't want to go. So yeah, they were extremely motivated. And many people also told me, because I did most of the interviews, that they would never go to normal healthcare services. So they were very enthusiastic, but it's of course a self-selected group.
First of all, thank you for your interesting presentation. I was wondering, in the selection of what aspects of cost you take into the cost-effectiveness analysis, are there any guidelines? Can you tell anything about how you choose which costs to include and which you don't?
Well, you try to get an as complete picture as possible, of course, but when we did our when we started the trial, well, I didn't know much about cost-effectiveness analysis, so well, we just thought, well, we'll incorporate some measures and we'll see what we can do with them. But of course, the it's very important to measure what happens in labor, in paid labor, because people may not go to work because they feel too depressed or whatever other disorder they're suffering from, or they may go because they feel they have to but don't do anything at work. And these are, of course, really big production losses, and these, yeah, there are huge costs associated with that. So that's a really important thing to take into account. As you can see, yeah, well, you can see it actually on this slide, but the antidepressant use and sleep medication, it's all relatively cheap. So if you find an effect on that, yeah, it won't do much for your cost effectiveness analysis for the general picture. So, yeah, it's the labor is actually really important, and of course their consultations at medical doctors, these are also quite expensive. And yeah, the intervention costs are of course really important, because yeah, they are, yeah, 1800 euros is a lot of money if you look at what people spend on healthcare services. So that can also make a big difference, the price of your intervention. Any other questions? Yeah.
Here, let's do it.
Because
you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I could hear it, but okay, it was just a comment, right?
Repeat that again, the document that gives the cost structure that could be...
Yeah,
I'll get you afterwards. Yeah,
yeah, but it is a validated health technology assessment questionnaire, and the costs they are specified, and also the formulas are given to translate it, to other countries. So because the costs differ, in different countries, so we use the tick pay, and that's validated, and that's based on other international questionnaires.
No more questions?
Could you explain, how did you find your group? How did you try to reach the patients you wanted to treat, and how did you select them to the different conditions?
Well, first we tried to find people by newspaper ads, but the internet intervention we used was very sophisticated for that time, and many people still use dial-up connections, which were not enough, so it was quite hard to find people over 50 years old with really advanced internet connections. So we got the help of the Municipal Healthcare Service, which is a really well-respected institution in the Netherlands, and they agreed to send letters for us to people over 50 years old in the city where we were having this trial. So we send out letters like 1,000 at a time, and then people could complete the questionnaire, because yeah, it was quite a rare group to have such a advanced internet connection, and also yeah, being brave enough to come out with their depressive symptoms. So that was quite complicated. And well, if they were still eligible at the end of the clinical interview, then they were just randomized across the conditions. So.